The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome to At the Podium, episode 9.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Man, it is Dallas week, and we have an avalanche of content coming, so shake off the bye week laziness and get ready for a packed rest of the week here on Bleeding Green Nation. Yesterday, we had Eagles legend Brian Westbrook on a special BGN radio to talk about his work with the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project, and of course, we talked about the birds too. We also have two Kist and Solak preview shows coming, along with Brandon Lee Gouten and John Stolness previewing the game for BGN radio, plus we have a new weekly show coming. Sorry for the teaser, but stay tuned and find out what that is. But for now, we have a double-decker of press conferences. First up is Doug Peterson talking about Dallas week. He also gives updates on Darren Sproles and Lane Johnson, among other topics. Then next is our franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz. He updates us on how things are developing with him and Golden Tate and much, much more. So let's get to those right now.
Good morning. Finally get to see you guys. Been a while. Smiling faces. Darren Sproles will practice this week. Yep.
Is the expectation to be able to play on Sunday?
We hope to, yeah. We hope to. This will be day to day. Be a little bit limited, but the expectation would be that he does play.
If he can't go, who would be the primary?
Well, again, I'm not going to divulge all our secrets, but we have a backup plan if that's the case, yes.
Do you expect Lane Johnson to practice at all?
Lane Johnson will practice. Might be a little limited, but he's going to go, and we'll see where he's at day by day.
And he's going to be able to play this Sunday?
Lane?
Yeah.
Expecting him to play, yes.
And how much is that committed?
I'm going to tell you, he's been in here every day. He and Brew and Mike Rowe, even myself, we've kind of tackled him every single day. And so trying to get him caught up to some, just our terminology, the way we call things, how we line up. But he's been awesome. Been in here every day.
So you think you might get back this week? Sidney Jones, Corey Graham, any of those guys?
Well, we expect Corey, to possibly get some practice time this week and see where he's at by week's end. You know, Sidney's a little bit different. We'll see where he's at day by day, but he's doing well with his rehab also.
What was the process like for you when the trade came down in terms of looking at Golden's tape, figuring out how you want to implement him into the offense?
Well, number one, we evaluated the player, the person, and then basically just how he would fit, the routes he was running in Detroit. Went back and watched some of his Seattle tape. And felt real comfortable with him coming in and giving us some added depth, it's an opportunity, great opportunity for all our receivers, but for him to come in and just add some value.
How
How are the skill sets of him and Nelson Aguilar similar or different? How can they kind of work together to be on the field at the same time?
Well, and that's the, you know, that's the chess piece that we as coaches you know, try to do each week is who's going to be on the field and the matchups and everything else. And, you know, I think the skill sets, Nelson does some great things, straight line speed, good route runner, smart guy, you know, Golden, kind of the same way. He's probably a little more of the, you know, short to intermediate type guy, a little, you know, quick twitch. He's, you know, they've used him out of the backfield before, you know, and things like that. So similar styles, but also in some aspects a little different.
Feel that you needed to add a wide receiver, you know, at the deadline, you know, especially with, you know, way offenses are scoring in the NFL.
Well, there you go. You just answered your own question.
I mean, is that kind of how you saw it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we look at all the positions, obviously. You know, you try to see if there's a DB out there. You maybe see if there's another pass rusher out there. And then, you know, what are you giving up as a team? I mean, that's the other thing you gotta concern yourself about. And I think Howie does a great job. Obviously trust him and his decisions and what he's willing to spare. But, you know, and then we have to look at it as coaches. How are we going to implement this guy, you know, at any position? And he adds depth, he adds value. So we're excited to get him in here. It's exciting for him, you know, a little change of scenery, and we'll see how it goes here in the next in a few days.
What are the expectations for Tim Jernigan now that he's back practice?
Well, we're going to bring him slowly, day by day. Just we got time with him. We don't have to do anything right now. We got some couple weeks with him, so we're just going to, you know, each day give him more and more. He hasn't done anything football-wise for a long time, so I just want to see where he's at health-wise here each day.
Hey, Doug, Lane's injury usually comes with a multi-week absence. How do you kind of explain his ability to get
Lane's a tough guy now. He is a tough guy. And, you know, in his mind, I think he would want to play. And our expectation is that he does play. But at the same time, I say that. And then I say, hey, I don't want to put somebody out there that might be, you know, less than 100% too, you know. So, you know, we'll get him ready. We'll get all our guys ready like we do each week. And, you know, just the expectation would be that he plays.
What does the Dallas rivalry mean to you?
This rivalry is it's an exciting rivalry. It's two really great franchises, obviously, great teams. It's always exciting, you know, Dallas week. You know, there's a lot of energy. It's an NFC East opponent, something that we talk about all the time. I go back to my days when I was here, you know, as a player, obviously, and playing the Cowboys and what it meant to obviously this city and our fans. So I expect all our fans to be rocking the link Sunday night.
Could Jalen Mills play this week, or is that a longer
term? We'll evaluate him day by day. He might be a touch longer, but he's coming, and we'll see where he's at again at the end of the week.
When you look at offenses in this league, the explosive ones, generally they're spreading the football. Do you think spreading the field with personnel, do you think Golden gives you the ability to go to more 11 and spread the football, spread the field a little bit more?
It helps, you know, to be able to do that. But, you know, you still have to worry about protection and how you're going to – with five guys against some really good pass rushers. You know, we know number 90 this week is a really good pass rusher, so we got to be careful, you know, with the amount of spread sets and empty sets that we do. But it does add value. It adds depth. It adds some explosive, you know, opportunities for us. And I think one of the things we have done the last couple of weeks is we've been a little more aggressive down the field, and that's opened up some things for us. And we just got to continue to manage that too.
Sean, you have a lot of ground to make up going forward here. A very, very tough schedule coming up. Do you have to remind everyone that it's one week at a time, that you can't make up all this ground just this week or next week and look too far ahead, that you know, stay locked in? Do you remind them as they come back here from the bye?
I do. You know, I reminded them of that really on Monday. You know, coaches, players, really the organization, that one, we're coming off a lengthy bye, getting some guys back. But at the same time, we gotta make sure that we maintain that physicality. We maintain the aggressiveness. You can look down the road a little bit and see, kind of break it up. The next four weeks, in the last 4 weeks and see exactly what's in front of us. But, you know, we always focus on 1 week at a time mentality. We talk about winning our division opponent games, and this is one of those that, you know, you try to win. And, you know, when you say things are right in front of you, it's kind of right there for this football team, you know, to go attack and try to capture. So I'll just remind them, you know, each and every day of that.
How forceful was your voice in the room when the discussions were made about bringing in an offensive piece before the trade deadline?
Definitely had a say in it. Obviously, you know, how this person, you know, we didn't know who it was, but, you know, Golden, how he was going to fit and how we were going to use him. You know, that's a key element, you know, and with the guys that we have, and how do you give everybody enough touches? How are you getting your two tight ends touches, Alshon touches? You know, there's things you have to factor in, but I think this is where Mike Rowe is really, he's done a nice job this week and really last week on implementing, you know, the guys that we have and putting plays and things together that can take advantage, you know, of this game plan, but at the same time, managing who's in the game. And then, of course, as a play caller, making sure that you know, everybody's getting opportunities to touch the football.
Do you think Carson and Golden Tate can get on the same page? Obviously, kind of have to hit the ground running.
You talking about Sproles and Golden?
No, Carson and Golden Tate.
Well, I mean, it's going to take a little time. You know, they're going to have to spend a little extra time either during or after, you know, practice and get some extra throws possibly just to kind of get a feel. I think as a quarterback, you'd want to do that. And same way with Golden, you know, Matthew Stafford throws it probably a little differently than Carson does. So getting used to Carson is something he's going to have to do. But we got to do it fast, you know, like now. So it's going to take some time.
Committed to running with him in that first game. Is that how you plan on using him going forward, you know, on the ground?
Well, one, we got to make sure, too, as this week goes, that he's healthy 100%. You know, he feels great. But yeah, we're going to, you know, again, we're going to just mix him in, you know. And I think we're a different team from week one to now, you know. Obviously, we don't have Jay, you know, but Corey's done a great job, Wendell, and now, you know, the emergence of Josh, he's kind of stepped up his game and he's played well, particularly this last game. And now we get Darren back. So it's a great opportunity for him. Again, it's like with Golden, I got to make sure that we have plays in for those guys and then use them in the game. So I can't tell you that we're going to feature Darren. Can't tell you that we're going to feature Josh or any of those guys, but Darren's going to be a big part of the game.
The timing of the week off, how much does that help Carson? I mean, as well as he's played and everything, you know, the fact that, you know, he's still, you know, have that knee and everything like that.
Well, I think the timing of it helps everybody. I think it even helps the coaches just kind of get away and catch their breath a little bit, get re-energized. But in his case specifically, I think it definitely helps. You know, where he can rest and heal and even go back and, you know, watch the games he played in and see where he can improve. And so it was a key time for that bye.
Doug, now a left field question, because fans are intrigued by the future of Jordan Mailata. What's the likelihood that in the future he could be used in a situation as a running back?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, he's definitely used to carrying a larger football. They call it a football. I don't know what they call it, the ball. Very athletic guy. It's intriguing. I mean, it's not out of the question.
All right, City Cowboys, after this, I'm going to ask this all. What do you think Cowboys can do? 12 a loss, but what do you see from them as some concerns about them right now?
Well, obviously, I think one of the things they've defensively, it's a good football team. It's a really good football team on defense, and they're really good up front, good pass rushers, third down. They're one of the top, if not the top, third down defense getting off the field. You know, we understand, you know, Elliott, what a tremendous back he is. A lot of things offensively run through him, and you gotta basically stop him if you can. You know, and he's tough to bring down. So This is a team that has a lot of weapons. You know, Amari Cooper now is going into a couple more weeks of practice and getting more comfortable with Dak. And Dak can obviously beat you not only with his arm but with his leg. So, listen, this is a tough matchup. You know, again, NFC East, great opportunity for us.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, adding a piece like that's exciting. A guy with the big play ability that Golden brings. You see him, you know, making highlight plays all the time, and just things he can do after the catch gets you excited. And you know, obviously, we haven't practiced yet, so it'll be pretty cool to finally get out there today and kind of see how he moves and get to know him as a receiver and everything. So I'm getting to know him off the field just a little bit. I'm definitely excited to work with him, and I think he's a big. I think he fits in really well with this culture, and he's going to help us for sure.
Did Howie or Doug reach out to you about that possibility before the trade went through?
Yeah, you know, I leave that stuff up to them. You know, we were on bye week. I was trying to get away. So, you know, I leave that up to them. And, you know, they've made great decisions and executed great really over the last couple of years since I've been here. So I have full confidence in their decisions on that, and I stay out of it.
Do you have a process to go through to get used to the receivers?
I mean, everyone's different. You know, everyone's different. Obviously, the more reps, the better. But at the same time, you try and, you know, you turn on the film of what he's done in Detroit to try and just see his body language a little bit on routes and what he's good at and those types of things. So, like I said, it'll be big to finally get out there today and finally start to get used to him and build that chemistry right away.
How did you hear Carson?
And where were you when you heard?
I was in North Dakota hunting and everything. And a coach reached out to me and informed me that was going down. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Did you have any temptation to come back and begin working with him immediately?
Yeah, you know, I knew the receivers coach, Coach Brewer, and those guys were definitely on it, and they knew. And at the same time, I think we all tried to maximize our bye week and just get our minds away from this. So definitely started talking to Golden right away, but I didn't come back early to work with him. Just started texting about things and, you know, building that chemistry.
He said you sent one of the first messages. You invited him to church over there. What do you do off the field to try to build that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, off the field, it's obviously tough in the middle of the season. You know, we're all busy. We got families. We got things going on. So it's sometimes hard to build that chemistry outside of the facility and everything. But just getting to know each other as best you can. You know, road games and everything are really big for that. And just staying in each other's ears about life and just getting to know him as a person. Like you said, inviting him to church, those types of things. Just trying to get to know him is something you can do. But again, it's tough during the season to fully build. That bond and everything outside the facility for sure.
Carson, how difficult is this stretch coming up for you guys? You know, you have a lot of work ahead of you at 4-4, and you look at the schedule like, wow, there's a real tough schedule coming up. How do you try to simplify that, and how difficult is this stretch coming up for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the last half of the season, really, it's a tough stretch for everyone. I mean, it really kind of decides a lot of things. And for us, though, we just simplify it into one game at a time. You know, right now we have the Dallas Cowboys this week. We're excited about that. They get to come into our house, Sunday Night Football. You know, everyone's always excited for the Cowboys in general. Now it's national television, all that fun stuff. So for us, we really just simplify it one game at a time, and we're excited. We're definitely excited for this matchup.
What does it mean to you to get another weapon on offense? I mean, you know, obviously there are injuries on defense. They could have gone that way and everything. Like, how much does that help you?
I mean, I love it. You know, I love it. I mean, anytime we can add weapons and guys like Golden with big play capabilities, I think it makes us, you know, the potential to be much more explosive and just keep building, trying to find ways to get big plays and those types of things. So I'm always excited anytime we can add weapons like that.
What do you attribute the dramatic increase in your accuracy this season?
I think just better decision making, you know, not trying to force the ball down the field all the time and just taking what the defense gives me. I think a lot of it also just has to do with how defense is playing us. You know, we are getting probably overall more soft zone than we have in the past. So just taking the underneath stuff is probably part of it.
You've had the opportunity to play opposite Dak a few times now. What trait about him stands out that you admire?
Yeah, you know, coming into the league at the same time as Dak and knowing him as a person and as a competitor, you know, I just love his competitiveness. You know, I think, you know, we're both kind of wired the same way in that area, and just, you know, he's always going to compete and fight till the end, and I'm kind of wired the same way, so I definitely admire that about him.
In the press conference after the Jags game,
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game. Everyone's kind of its own thing. You know, I never want to just say it's part of the game. It happens. You know, I want to clean it up. And but at the same time, each is such an individualized play and case. So overall, just got to try and be better with that and get the ball out quicker in some of those situations.
Carson, what have you seen Dallas' defense, new defensive play caller? Has it been a little bit different also?
Yeah, a little bit different. You know, overall, they do a lot of similar stuff, but, you know, their starting point is a little bit different. You know, a lot more one high coverage this year. And, you know, but again, it's the similar players. You know, they still fly around. They got extremely sound players. They're coached well, you can tell. And overall, it's very similar, but just a little bit different with their starting point and some of their coverages. But the way they play up front and everything, it's very similar.
What's important coming out of the bye? Some teams come out of it pretty sluggish.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, avoid coming out sluggish. You know, I think over the years, sometimes you come out of bye weeks or long, you know, weekends, or like Thursday night games, a little slow and everything. And that's something we've already talked about and emphasized for really starting today at practice fast. And just coming out fast, coming out swinging right away on Sunday, that'll be big for us.
This offseason, you had a wedding, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, was this bye week probably the biggest break you've had in a while? Was it good for you?
Yeah, the bye week was great. You know, I think it, you know, for really the entire team, came at a perfect time. You know, middle of the season, you couldn't ask for a better bye week than that. And just to be able to get away and refresh my mind, like you said, with the rehab and everything that's been going on last offseason, you know, this was a big break for me, both physically and mentally, for sure.
As a quarterback and a leader, how do you keep everyone happy now that you've added significant?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the idea of keeping everyone happy, I think first and foremost it stems from just the culture we have in place. You know, we realize, you know, 1 week it might be somebody with the 100-yard game and a couple touchdowns, and the next week it's going to be probably someone different. And that's just the culture we've built around here of unselfishness and spreading the ball out. So I'm really not worried about that. You know, I know the play calling and everything will really just take care of that itself. But that's a luxury that we have. We can spread the ball out. We can find the mismatch, whoever it is, each given week and take advantage of it.
Kelsey was rather honest on the radio this morning about his dislike for the Cowboys organization and their fans. What's your take on Dallas Week? How do you feel about the rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I try to not make, you know, anything ever bigger than it is. You know, at the end of the day, I know the fans and everyone takes this game maybe a little more seriously, a little more aggressively, you could probably call it. But for me, we got a game to win. You know, and I try and keep my emotions the same. You know, I'm definitely excited about it. Anytime we play a Sunday night game on national television, I'm always a little more excited about it. And I'm just adding the fact that it's Dallas, and I know the fans are going to be really, really live and really active. I think it'll be a fun environment.
Press Taylor was saying yesterday that you guys have embraced kind of standards over feelings when making corrections and being self-critical. Kind of, what does that mean to you? How does that manifest itself on Mondays and Tuesdays?
Yeah, I mean, standards over feelings, something, you know, Coach Taylor talks about quite a bit, and it's just being critical, you know, being critical of yourself and always striving to be perfect. You know, you're never going to be perfect in a game, but just being able to really dissect where you can improve every single play and strive to be perfect and strive to be great every time, and try and take the feelings and the emotions out of it, whether he's coaching me hard or whatever it is, just kind of look at it over the idea of standards and just say, where can I improve?
What are some of the standards?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ultimately, was the play successful? You know, the standard is completions. The standard is, you know, making right decisions, right reads, all those things. And a lot of it you'll never fully know just looking in a stat column. It's something we talk about up in the QB room. Like I said, progressions, reads, decision-making, all that stuff. And just being able to be coachable for sure.
Golden trains, I believe, with Zach and Darren in the offseason. What kind of scouting report did they bring to you about?
Yeah, I haven't talked to them a bunch about their workouts with Golden. I just heard that, you know, they know he's a good dude, a good team, a hard worker. And so I'm excited to finally see that firsthand.
When it comes to on-field chemistry, and we're talking about Golden, does it help when a receiver can do things with sort of manufactured touches, whether it's a bubble screen, smoke screen, something like that?
Yeah, I think you could say that. You know, I think anytime, you know, a certain receiver, as in Golden's case, can do some different things, even in the run game, end arounds, those types of things, or catching quick passes and making, you know, 10 yards out of 2 yards or something like that, and the potential to make big plays I think it definitely helps, you know, the idea of getting them involved early and really just adds an element to that player for sure. So that definitely will help build that chemistry faster, no doubt.
Did you convince Mike Trout to come to the Phillies?
You know, Mike and I, when we go hunting, we hang out. We don't talk too much baseball or football. We keep it strictly hunting and just hanging out and have a good time. That's our time to get away from our sports and everything, so we don't talk too much about that.
Are there
any ducks left in the Dakota? There's lots of ducks. There's lots of ducks and geese in North Dakota. You know, we had a great trip, like I said earlier. I mean, it was just a perfect timing for me and some of my friends and family just to all get together, get away, and get refreshed, recharged for the second half of the season.
Getting back to the previous question, you said you want to stay out of personal decisions. Obviously, I don't need to tell you the status you have in your organization. Do you hope at some point be involved in those or push the coaches to go a certain way in the front office?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, whether it's, like you said, personnel decisions, game planning decisions, all those things, you know, having an opinion on things is big. But again, there's so many things that I already have to worry about from an X's and O's standpoint that I don't get too much involved in those things. And who knows, someday, but right now, I'm trusting them. They've never let me down so far. They make great decisions, and I'm confident that they'll keep doing that. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all Flyers, all the time show, so much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.